The antonym of zenith is nadir, and for the stock market, it's now 5 years after the nadir.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Target Stores reported today that its profits were cut nearly in half last quarter, due in part to the great hacking of 70 million customer accounts. Yet the company said sales improved in the last few weeks and the stock was up in early trading. Abercrombie & Fitch, the clothes store for teens, reported higher-than-expected profits, and its stock went up. Lowe's, the hardware store, had a strong profit, and in early trading, the stock was up more than 3%. Joining us from Cleveland is Bruce McCain, chief investment strategist at Key Private Bank. Bruce, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, we've built up quite a portfolio of profit reports from companies covering the last 3 months of last year now. How do they add up for you?
Well, corporate earnings have done pretty well. They not only have risen, but they've accelerated a little bit. As a kicker, money continues to flow into equity mutual funds. So apparently investors are feeling more confident. Some are taking money out of bonds and reallocating. So it should be a pretty good year for equities based upon what we're seeing in earnings.
But for those of us with a well-developed imagination for disaster, what could go wrong, Bruce?
Well, investor sentiment is pretty optimistic at this point, and that sets the markets up for negative surprises. And we have seen a number of disappointing reports over the course of the recent weeks. Investors to this point have discounted them because of the severe winter weather. If the weather improves and the economic or corporate earnings reports do not, investors may be pretty negative in their reaction to that. That suggests there still may be some global sluggishness that remains a problem. We're just going to have to get a little further into the year to find out.
Bruce McCain at Key Private Bank, Cleveland. Thank you very much.
Good to be with you.
But sorry if the following provokes a flashback. We're coming up on the five-year anniversary of the moment the stock market bottomed out during the great financial crisis. March 9th, 2009, the S&P 500 fell to 676. As of this morning, it's gone up 176% since the trough. Marketplace contributor and Fortune magazine senior editor-at-large Alan Sloan has been digging into some of the official numbers on the net worth of Americans during the past 5 years. Thanks for coming in, Alan.
My pleasure, David.
Now, I know you remember the dread, but things have come back. If you held on to the stocks, things might not have been so bad.
Well, in fact, the last time I looked, the U.S. stock market had almost tripled and was up $15 trillion in value, and that's serious money.
Serious money for those who stuck with it, those who sold out in a panic. This is a very different story. But ultimately, this is accruing to the net worth of many Americans, this rising stock market.
Well, it is, but the great majority of stocks are owned by a relative handful of people, and it's much more concentrated than house values. The value of stocks owned by individuals is up something more than $8 trillion. The value of home equity is up maybe a third as much.
As you point out, the net worth of more Americans may be affected by that house number.
Right. For most people, the value of their home equity is the biggest asset they have. But the higher you get up the economic ladder, the smaller house equity becomes as part of your net worth, and the greater stocks become. So the fact that stocks have done spectacularly well is just adding to the concentration of wealth.
One thing about the stock market, though, is that it means some companies feel they're doing well. Maybe then they're hiring some people.
Well, the term animal spirits comes to mind. We're seeing now all sorts of initial public offerings by startup companies that presumably will take some of the money and hire people. I mean, I'm all in favor of the stock market going up. I just want to be realistic about what it means. There are many people who, as you say, were flushed out of the market or stampeded out who've missed large parts of this.
Alan Sloan, senior editor-at-large at Fortune magazine. Thank you.
It was great to be here, David.
It's a striking finding that'll get much attention in the coming weeks. Researchers find that obesity among kids 2 to 5 years old has dropped 43% in the last 10 years. Among the reasons, the way the government prices subsidized food for low-income families. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Dan Gorenstein has more.
Obesity is expensive, with spending on the disease and related illnesses at more than $200 billion a year.
It is the diseases that cost the most in healthcare for us.
Dr. Jeffrey Copeland is the vice president of the Emory Global Health Institute.
We're talking about diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, stroke. It's a list that goes on and on and on.
Researchers aren't sure what's driving down obesity rates among young children. Everything from an increase in breastfeeding to changes in the SNAP food program are theories. And to be clear, overall, the nation's weight problems haven't improved. But Temple epidemiologist Robert Whitaker points out obesity hasn't gotten worse either.
I think that's a very important finding, considering that for almost three decades, there's been a steady increase in the prevalence of obesity affecting people of all ages, races, and ethnicities.
Whitaker says this new report from CDC, coupled with other indicators, suggests to him that the three-decade trend has come to a halt. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And news today that the top-selling jersey on NBA.com is Nets number 98, Jason Collins, the first openly gay active player in the four big sports leagues in the United States. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.